On this edition of Abounding Grace, we continue looking at the Ten Commandments. We turn to the second tablet of the Ten and start with the fifth, honor your father and mother. What this means, what it should look like, and why this is so important to God is the subject of our time today. Please join us. We're in Exodus chapter 20, looking at verse 12. We'll also spend time in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. A look at Eli's sons and just how bad things can really get when this command is disobeyed. And to take it into the new covenant, we'll also spend time in Ephesians chapter 6. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon, today's broadcast.
Tonight we begin the sort of second half of our consideration of the Ten Commandments, the second table. So far we have considered the first four, which deal with our relationship to God. And now tonight we're looking at the remainder of these commandments that deal with our love for our neighbor, how what God expects from us in our relationships with one another. That is the now focus of the rest of these commandments. And it's no mistake that he begins in the fifth commandment with honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. We've heard that so much in the course of our lives. Interesting, the Lord begins a second table with that command. A command that deals with children and parents and honoring, you'll notice even the Heidelberg captures this, authority structures in our lives. The things that we rebel against the most. Boys and girls, this command is very important for you tonight. God has given you parents. God has blessed you with parents. God cares a lot about your parents and about you. And he desires, as his way of ruling you and showing his ways and teaching his ways to you, that you honor them, that you submit to them. I still, to this day, remember every time I was disciplined by my mother, out came Ephesians 6. This thing is just still right in my head. Every time, and it always came right after the good paddling, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Every single time I heard that. I don't believe tonight, as we're looking at this particular commandment, that it's aimed at children solely as if the burden for obedience lies squarely upon their shoulders. I don't think that would be a right way at all to read this particular commandment. How children are nurtured, how children are trained, how children are cared for really will result and really puts on display and matters a lot about how parents really give themselves to train them in the ways of the Lord. That you'll notice that as the heart of Ephesians 6 there, when he says, fathers, you should train them in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. What a great responsibility that's really leveled upon us. In other words, the obedience of the child is bound up with the expectation of the parent. A really important point. The obedience of the child is bound up with the expectation of the parent. If the commandment says, honor your father and your mother, the children have to have something to honor, don't they? Something they should honor. Something they should want to honor. Parents didn't think they're going to get beat up tonight, but they're going to get beat up for a minute. And then we'll get to the children. We live in a day where parents thrive on being their children's friends. Treating a child as a friend, the child responds appropriately. You have parents who today have removed boundaries, so the children live without boundaries. You have parents who neglect the duty to train up and nurture children in the Lord's ways, demanding accountability, the children show it. We see this no clearer than in the account with Eli and his sons. That's why I at least wanted to reference it for a moment and spend a few moments with it again. As you approach that particular text, you'll notice there how out of control you get a sense that particular text is and that situation in Israel. How did it get so bad that Eli's sons could do that much wickedness and get away with it in Israel? They were corrupt. The account begins saying they didn't even know the Lord. This was the priest's sons. And in the priestly office, they didn't even know him. So from a parental perspective, when you look at it this way, this is one tragic event that's been presented to us in Israel's history. The text doesn't present it fatalistically as if the Lord was just waiting to take them out. The text wants to show us that the Lord had been so long-suffering and patient in the design that he put in place, he had to finally intervene to put a stop to what was ultimately ruining Israel. That's the perspective of this particular passage, that the Lord had to intervene finally himself and exercise discipline because nobody had. So the text goes on to outline the sins there of Hophni and Phinehas, that they were stealing from the offerings of the people, and the whole thing was summarized when it said, "Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men didn't even want to worship or offer anymore to the Lord." They were stealing. And there was immorality going on, sexual immorality. And Dad knew about it. That was the point. The whole thing was shocking and presents to us a situation so far gone. But the text doesn't hesitate to focus on the messiness and the breakdown of what happened in light of the fifth commandment. What we find is that the Lord centers the discussion on Eli's relationship with his own sons. And he said to them, Eli says, "Why do you do these things? For I hear of your evil doings from all the people. No, my sons, for it's not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not listen to the voice of their father." He is capturing there the fifth commandment, saying they utterly had disregarded the fifth commandment. Now, as we said, this would have little meaning if it were only focused on tonight, the children. The commandment itself presupposes some very important things that the parents have the responsibility to train them in what the Lord wants and what he desires. This reciprocal relationship was important for understanding then what it means for children to honor their parents. This commandment is broken when parents don't train them, when parents don't nurture them, when parents don't love them. What was the issue with Hophni and Phinehas? Well, the text presents to us that Eli had terribly neglected his responsibility to discipline his sons. Eli's an old man at this point. In fact, the text says that what comes across here is that Eli had been neglecting this for years. Eli knew what his sons were doing, and you'll notice this, that this rebellious behavior enter at the beginning of the priesthood. This had been going on so long that what we notice with Eli is that when it had come push to shove, he had finally addressed the sins, but unwilling was he to do anything about it. Why do you do these things? For I hear of all your evil doings from the people. And you think, you're the priest, man. Step up. Stop this. And the next thing we're anticipating from Eli is, what is he going to do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing to restrain his sons. He should have pulled them right out of their positions. And God raised that. God sent a messenger to Eli, and that messenger said to him, "You are honoring your children more than the Lord." If the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, it says to parents, don't honor your children more than the Lord. Don't honor your children more than the Lord. He was a totally passive father, completely out of touch with his sons. I hear from the people, says Eli. The main point is, Eli spoke against it, had the power to stop patterns, and didn't. and didn't. He feared his children more than the Lord. Well, isn't that just the problem today? Isn't that the prevailing problem today? Children are worshipped by parents. People have noticed the trend in the times that we live. All of life for parents seems to revolve today around their children. All of life revolves around the children, almost treating them as little gods. No wonder our children are all stressed out. And of course, with that kind of exaltation, the notion that their child could ever do anything wrong is absolutely foreign for most parents today. My child could never do that. My child would never do that. Such a different time. My grandmother talked about her immigrant father. He was a Russian German and had come from Russia as a German. There was a whole colony of Russian Germans that made their way over here. And he was a Russian German. Let me tell you, a hard man, never smiled, a disciplinarian. Never once, said my grandmother, did he say, "I love you," to my grandmother. I've thought about that a lot over the years, that she would share that with me. I thought how radically different the times are now. Maybe we've so reacted against the authoritarian from the old country that we've removed all reins. Think about that. And we're begging now for our kids' approval and wondering why they don't respond. Begging for it. And we're turning now and living our life through our children or our grandchildren. I knew a lady who had so much past of legalism, she swung the pendulum so far over, she never said no to her children. Her beautiful daughters were out till 2 or 3 in the morning. Boundaries were gone. Just gone. And we have a generation of sloppy young people in front of us. Now, I know someone would get mad saying that. I'm just as sloppy, okay? But my point is discipline lacks today. Discipline is so far off the radar today. We're afraid it doesn't work anymore. In many respects, we think the Christian school does the job. I was a Christian school teacher. I know what was the expectation. I'm saying tonight, it's so much more. What good is the Christian school without the home? So I prayed for it tonight. The Bible has a lot to say to parents. The primary place all this takes place is the home. One of the things we've lost today is an understanding of the covenantal responsibility to train them and nurture them in the home. We used to think that the earth was the center of the universe and we were wrong. So now we think the children are the center of our universe and we need to get back to the Lord being the center. Where he told, after he gave the law, the first thing that was on our Lord's mind, the first thing he wanted communicated after the giving of the law was this: "And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." This is what I'm telling you you need to do for your children. This is the most important thing you can do for your children. Talk about me. Tell them my ways. Parents always had to be diligent in training them. Teach them when you sit in your house. There's a reason that the elders care a lot about family devotions. There's a reason the elders want you around the table together. I know sports are pulling you everywhere. I lived it. My house was a sports house. My dad was a coach. It's all we did. We lived and breathed basketball. But the Lord is saying, put me first. I was very affected by the book by J.A. Alexander years ago called Family Worship. And he said something that's convicted me as a young father. "I no longer marvel that Christianity becomes a dying, empty thing in the houses of those professors where there's no joint worship of God in the home. Family prayer invited and bespeaks the blessing of God on all concerned, but chiefly on him who leads it. Better a roofless than a prayerless house. Boy, that got me. Better a roofless than a prayerless house. And then he goes on to speak of the importance and the influence that that prayer of a father leading his children in prayer, how that really does affect the mind of the child. My son, Proverbs 1, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a gracious ornament on your head. What a great statement. What a great statement. Hear it, which means parents, give it. When a child is rightly taught and then disobeys, God calls parents to discipline. We've got to recover godly discipline. It scared me a lot to think about what the proverb said. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Why? Because you're stopping a pattern that a child is running in. You are the means of God's use to stop your child from sinning. Timeouts don't cut it. They just don't. It's the reason God said he who spares the rod. Be prompt in it. In short, discipline, as one pastor said, is life-saving. The child may fight for a while and despise the correction, but at the end of the day, says the Lord, it saves him. Saves him. In light of that, you see how serious God's role and responsibility is upon parents. In light of this command, do not withhold correction from a child, Proverbs 23. For if you beat him with a rod, he's not going to die. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from hell. That's a good goal. It's God's way of restraining. Now God says that you do that, you love them. And it should be done in love. It always should be done in love. Alexander also goes on to comment the kind of spirit a father and mother should have in their home. And it should be not an angry spirit, but a spirit of real concern and interest and love for their children. Imagine, he says, the child who contemplates going in a wrong direction and rebelling. Before that child is a father constantly who leads the family in prayer and is on his knees, and the child sees that. Alexander says the example of family worship imprinted already upon his heart and prayers that have been constantly offered to God on the child's behalf are like arrows into the heart of the youth. The child, Alexander says, is forced to say, how could I offend against a father who loves me and wrestles with God like that on my behalf? How could I do that? Charles Bridges once said, when God gives a commandment like this, he will give a sincere servant the grace to obey it. Thus, a parent ought to cultivate the exercise of parental faith, expecting the fulfillment of the parental promise as confidently as any other free promise of the gospel. What a great statement. Now, parents got theirs. I wrote that to me, knowing how great the responsibility is. But this commandment is directed to our children. Children, it's directed to you tonight, isn't it? There's something very important here to think about for a moment. God commands you tonight, no matter what age you are, to love your parents, to respect your parents, to think highly of your parents. You know what the sons of Eli did? There's one little verse that you could think about tonight. It says, they did not listen to the voice of their father. They did not listen. They made a choice not to listen. You know why God has given you parents, children? Because he loves you, and because he wants to see you trained, and because he wants to see you to grow up. Think of all the blessings that you've had to grow up and to know the Lord and to be taught him. That means that he's calling you tonight to respect them, to honor them. They know best for you, even though you don't always agree. I know that. My children don't always agree. But even when you're frustrated or angry with your parents, or even when you disagree with your parents, the Lord wants you to listen and talk to him about that. In fact, God gives you a real encouragement tonight. I've often thought about this encouragement. How do you preach this encouragement? Because the Apostle Paul put this encouragement in the new covenant, in the days in which we live. He gives a promise to you. He gives you a promise. Think about this tonight. When you honor your parents, you will live long on the earth. Does that make you nervous when I say that? What does that mean? He then adds and he says, of course, it's going to go well with you. What does that mean? It's going to go well with you. Just that. It's an encouragement, and it's the truth of the matter. And everyone in this room knows it tonight. I had friends who lived rejecting what their parents told them, greatly disrespected them. They did what they wanted to do. They lived a life in secret. And I can tell you, many of those today are leading very hard lives. And they've made many bad decisions that have wrecked their lives. There's a consequence. Disobedience to godly parents promotes an undisciplined life. And when you choose to live that way, I want you all to know, it's not going to go well for you. You're not going to have peace in this life. It's going to be a hard life. And notice what he says, though. The positive is, the Lord wants you to encourage you with this promise. He says there in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you. That's how much it means to him. That the Lord is going to strengthen you, and in this life you are going to know that blessing. That's not overstating what he's saying here. It's the plain reading of this. And the Lord is setting before you a path that's right and wants to help you in that. And this is the way you can go forward in the future in a way that pleases him and honors him. And the Lord wants you to know tonight that he is a heavenly Father who gave his Son for you, who was perfectly obedient and cared about you so that you might be brought in and adopted into his family to receive all the ultimate rights as true sons. That kind of treatment that is constantly he's telling us about in the gospel of his love, that kind of treatment of what the Lord has done for us and describes for us all over the scriptures of his work for us, he wants you to know you are an adopted son of grace and that he is a God who, like this morning, we should cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And that should drive us to make our earthly relationships as parents and as children reflect the family that we ultimately belong to. That's what you need to remember. You belong to him. You're in the family of God. Therefore, we should honor this commandment as a way of saying, thank you, Lord. I'm going to really labor with these little lives that you've given to train them up in the fear and discipline of the Lord. And children tonight, I hope you go home and say, you know, mom and dad, tell them before bed, thank you for being my parents. Thank you for training me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for feeding me every night. Thank you for working so hard in the day to provide for me clothing and help and encouragement all my life. Thank them for what they've done. And realize that in all that, this is the Lord's good way of showing that he cares for you and that he loves you.
Now, the fifth commandment. Great command to our children, but also a great reminder for us as moms and dads, as parents, to remember the solemn obligation that we have been entrusted with by God in properly raising and training children as unto the Lord. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org if you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732. Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.